We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson and want to, first of all, thank everyone from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet for tuning in today to this podcast. If you're listening to the audio version, I want to encourage you to come on over to the masteryourlife.ca website where you can watch the video version, because I, again, probably won't post this on YouTube simply because it might get struck. If we happen to be able to, by some grace, post it on YouTube, we'll do that. But in case we don't, make sure that you come on over to the masteryourlife.ca website. So it's my absolute pleasure to welcome to the show today a fierce mama warrior for our kids and for her children, Tasha Fishman. Welcome to the show, Tasha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Leah.
So Tasha is a fellow Canadian gal. She's a self-sabotage coach, and she's also a unschooling coach. So she's got this exciting new program where she's helping people to unschool their children. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, a delight to watch kind of her evolution and kind of her popping up out of nowhere, because a lot of people are in chaos about, what do I do with my kids, Tasha? I'm sure you hear this over and over and over again. I know that I do. As a grandma of six, I'm concerned about where education is at. And I just think that this is a much, much needed broadcast. So for those of you who are tuning in, please share this with your friends and family. Share this with your girlfriends, with your guy friends, with people who are grandparents, because we want to know how to help save our kids. You know, we have these beautiful divine little beings given to us, and we feel like they're such a gift from God. And we just can't wait to nurture them and have them have a great life experience. And I would say at least 90% of the people that I talk to don't think that's currently the state. So on this podcast, come and join us, where we're going to talk about what's going on, what Tasha knows about that she can reveal about programming, and how you can get yourself glitched from this, or unhitched from this matrix that we're living in. So Tasha, how did you get started? Like, tell me a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I love my backstory a little bit. I used to be embarrassed of it, and now I just absolutely love it, because it shows how unconspiratorial I was by nature. Mm-hmm. So when the pandemic hit, I literally was involved in, we had to lay off 65 people from our family business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, 2 weeks. And then I saw this video about making masks, and you'll have to excuse my voice. I'll just let everybody know I don't normally sound like this. I have a bit of a cold, but anyway, I was scared. You know, I was scared like other people, like everyone else seemed to be scared. I was listening to the news. Why? I would never have assumed anyone was lying to us about this. Like, I got a video about, you know, masks protecting yourself, and then you protect the others. And, you know, I'm a team player. So I said to my husband, let's use our business and get people to donate fabric. Everyone's sitting at home anyway. We have all these grandmas and sewers. We have seamstresses. Let's get them to make these masks for the doctors. So we literally put the company into function and created this community endeavor of this YYC mask makers. I was on all of the media outlet channels. Like, this is before I knew anything that was going on with media, right? And participating in this thing. So here we go. We're making masks. We're flying around. We're doing stuff. My husband didn't want to do it at first. I was like, no, we got to do this. It's going to be great. And then about 3 weeks in, after the 2 weeks, when they said, no, we're not, we're going to keep going, something didn't sit right with me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I started kind of diving into different, you know, literature, different points of view that were contra narrative. And I remember somebody saying, be careful with that. Don't, mm-hmm. that person supports Trump. Or this, and it was just this odd little thing. So I was like, what, you know? And then my sister-in-law came over and she said, you have to listen to this. And it was the fall of Cabal. And it just completely flipped my whole mind upside down because it was a completely different perspective. Now, whether it's true or not, and whether you believe in Trump or not, it doesn't matter. The evolution was that that was my first step that I had to take. From there, I watched a video from the ex-champion boxer, David Nino Rodriguez. Yes. And he's sitting there talking about Hollywood and the dark side of the things that go on. And he's sitting there. And I mean, we're all supposed to be at home. And he's talking about adrenochrome. And he's talking about this underground industry. And I dropped my whatever I had in my hands and just started to cry. And I called my sister-in-law and I said, I don't know what this is and what I just saw and what I've just heard in my soul, but I want to be part of the solution. That's all I need.
So I want to stop you there for just a second, because a lot of people are skeptical about the harvesting of adrenochrome, and the and some of our popular psychologists are also say that there is no any of that sort of stuff going on. So I just want to say this also is counter narrative to some of the most popular people who are still saying, you know, things are bad, but they're not that bad. Yes. So sorry to interrupt you, but what I also want to point out is that what you had there was this, it was an intervention by God, because you had that in your spirit. You knew what was right. So that's, I want just to encourage people to go, what sounds right to you will ring true in your physiology. So the fact that that went right to your soul and that you started to cry.
Yes.
That those things are important when listeners are going, how do I know what's true?
That's
count
right.
on your own physiology, count on your own intuition. Really, really important. So thank you for sharing that, Tasha. So pick up from there.
It's I call it direct discernment with, you know, the divine. Yes. And for me, I get these intuitive hits. And, you know, I would beg to differ that whoever's saying that it's not that bad, that it actually is that bad. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why people want to assume or purport that these things aren't happening, because they're very difficult to look at, very difficult to follow, to open ourselves up to. Mm-hmm. But this is what's being unveiled to us at this time. And it is so important that we get to the place where we can look at it, because we're in trouble. We're in this place in the first place because we're not looking at it. And we haven't been for centuries. This is an old ancient ruling cult that we're up against. This is the oldest, darkest force, whether you call it Satan, whether you call it dark consciousness, whatever this is, it's been around since we've been around. Mm-hmm. And this is a spiritual war. And the reason that people don't think this is happening, I've seen enough, I know enough, and I know what's going on in my own discernment of things. But the reason is just like myself. I used to say, you know, if I don't think about evil, if I just don't invite it into my life, if I pretend like the devil doesn't exist, then it won't bother me. But that is actually a very naive way to go about life, because you open the driver's seat for anybody to come in like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I was unable to actually see evil, which is what we're witnessing today. This is fifth generational warfare. You know, the devil is very strategic, and the things that are going on in this world and have been for a very, very long time are so evil and demonic that the average human being with their big, beautiful hearts can't even fathom it, because we don't think like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's the naivety that we're waking up to. That is the maturation that has to develop, right? Where we come to the space of reality and realize that just because we don't believe it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because we can't fathom that people would do this doesn't mean it's not happening. So that's the reality of what's being unfolded.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, I just think it's interesting, because if people just reflect back since the 1980s or maybe 1970s. So most people who listen to this podcast would have been alive maybe, or young children at that time. The divorces were almost unheard of at that time. And now it's just like the decimation of the family over decades and decades is the really big, glaring, apparently, you know, not hidden thing. Mm-hmm. That's easy for everybody to kind of go, oh yeah, that did happen. And so there was, there's more of those things that are obvious to people, that are kind of the grapes for the picking. So when you're going, oh, that bad stuff doesn't happen, that's a really clear evidentiary thing that everyone can see that didn't have good outcomes for most people financially, for their children, et cetera.
100%. And also, you know, if people are really struggling with the adrenochrome part, I mean, you can just go and research Feng Lao or I can't remember exactly, I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly, but the harvesting that's going on in China. I mean, I have met groups of people that are out protesting peacefully every week about this in the streets of Vancouver. You can go and look up the statistics. It's very difficult to find. But when you realize that in your mind space, you only hear about missing children by maybe a milk carton here or there, or a sign that you see up at a convenience store. But the truth is that on an average, 8 million children in the world go missing a year. Are you kidding me? Where are they all? Where are all the bodies? Like there's so much. When you think about 450,000 children a year in the U.S. alone go missing.
Mm-hmm. 450,000. Yes. Where do they go?
The magnitude of the how many children that would fill in a stadium. Like, think about what we're talking about. Why is that not on news every day? Why are we not growing up hearing about this? Why is it kind of the same kind of number? What systems are in place that, I mean, it's big. I know that's not what we're here to talk about, but we'll just say at the time, I had no idea. I just listened to this guy and something rang true in my soul. And it was like, I got my mission papers. I was like, everything that had happened in my life, I had been a black sheep. I left home pretty young. I had many, many experiences, many hardships. It all made sense to me. I was like, I knew it. I knew the world wasn't what they were saying it was. And as an empath, you know, as somebody who's intuitive, I always felt misaligned on this planet. Like I came to the wrong space, you know? And so it made sense to me. Like, yes, this is right. There's an evil force at play here. Even though I didn't know anything, I could feel that. So like, to make a long story short, that information changed everything. It set me on fire down every path and road and rabbit hole and research tunnel that I could go down. I went down. Like many people, it was extremely painful. Mm-hmm. Things weren't going well with my husband because he didn't like the direction I was going. And it scared him, I'm sure. And I couldn't stop. You know, I couldn't stop researching. I couldn't stop. It was like unraveling a piece of a sweater. I just kept going and going. So once I realized the magnitude of the lie that was being perpetrated and sold to an unsuspecting public, I said to myself, there's no way that I can trust these people, whoever they are, to rear my children. There's no way I'm sending my children back to the hysteria that I knew was going to continue. So when everybody thought, oh, the kids are home for the rest of the year and come the fall, it'll be fine. And they couldn't wait, because just to back it up, for people who thought that was actually homeschooling, because people will say to me often, oh, I homeschooled back in 2020, those 3 months, it was hell. There's no way. That was also manufactured to be that way. Mm-hmm. That was hell, because that's not what homeschooling is, or unschooling. And nobody's trying to finish up a year with a teacher online with kids with different, you know,
needs.
And computers, right? You had to be on the computer all day. It was crazy. So just so that everyone knows, when you think, oh no, I did that and it's horrible, no, that's not what it is at all. But I just knew that I couldn't send them back. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't a granola mom that breastfed till her kids were five and did the attachment parenting. No, I loved my kids, but I would have considered myself a mom in the matrix.
Right. So how old were your kids when in 2020 when this hit?
We'd one in grade four, so that would have been 9 and 6 or something.
9 and 6, yes. Yeah. So and it can be relatable to those ones with little ones.
Those are little ones,
yes.
And so they have never, and thank God to this date, we can get into this later, had a speck of the gender ideology BS. Like, that's how new this is. Like, they haven't, they know nothing, and now they are 10 and 12, mm-hmm. almost 13. And they know nothing about that. They know from the things that I talk to them about the ridiculousness of this and what's going on and why they're not in schools. So that just shows you the timeline of how fast this craziness has come to us. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I just knew I've got to get them out of there. There's going to be hysteria at the schools. People are going to be screaming at them to social distance. There's no way in hell they're wearing a mask. So I just convinced my partner, even though we were at odds about me and my spiritual awakening, to let me homeschool for a year.
Right.
And I took the kids out to our cabin. I was trying to hide from the rest of the world. I knew immediately within the first 2 or 3 days of that spiritual awakening that I had, that I was going to have to sell the house that we had built for our family mm-hmm. in the city. I was going to have to move out of the neighborhood. I knew it immediately. I was going to downsize. I was going to get let go of work. I was going to do whatever I had to do to stay at home with them, to stay out of the city, and to get away from the life that I had been working so diligently to build around me the past decade. It's crazy because I started posting, because I'm a bit of an open book, in 2020. Hey, I'm being censored for this. Hey, did you see, you know, there was a few things I was awake about, like organic food. I knew about the corruption in the food industry. Another big one is I didn't vaccinate my kids. You know, I worked for 10 years as a social worker with children who had disabilities. I met many parents who had vaccine injured children. I did my own research. I slid under the radar. I didn't vaccinate my kids. They got maybe one when they were older because I got pressured by a measles outbreak. And then of course, COVID happened. I wish I had never done that. Now looking back, of course, mm-hmm. but it shows you that I'm not perfect either. I understand the pressure that people, you know, succumb to, about these lies that were fed. Yes. And, you know, we hand our children off like a sacrifice to these medical cults, these, you know, these medical gods, and they harm our children really. So, I was awake to a few things. But yeah, so I moved out there, thought that homeschooling, it was going to be great. It's going to be amazing. They were going to love their teacher because their teacher's the mom. I told everybody it's going to be awesome. Everyone else is packing their kids in the bus. Can't wait to get rid of them. I shouldn't say that like that, but you know what I mean? They were just overwhelmed with having them home for 5 months and, mm-hmm. you know,
And because we've been taught that it's like that shuffling off kids is important. You know, the most important thing is having a career. Your identity is your career. And that whole nurturing mother, traditional nurturing mother role has been usurped for a, you know, hot mama, whatever it is thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's so true. And you need your me time and your alone time. And, you know, I identified with all those things. So it wasn't, I have to attribute my awakening to God and the contract that we had. Because I can identify with all of those things, which I think is why I'm so relatable to people, because I share that story.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I basically moved out there. I had these illusions of homeschooling, how wonderful it was going to be. And I went to the teacher's right. talk about all the things and made my entire kitchen look like a classroom. And it was going to be great. And we were going to do everything from 9 to 12. And then we were going to be outside and it was going to be wonderful. And literally after about the third day, I realized this is an epic fail. So I'm out there in this cabin in the woods by myself. Everyone's going back to school. Life has gone on, pandemic style. And I'm sitting at home with my kids who don't want to do the work and the curriculum and the books that I had bought. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't they want to do this with me? They do this for teachers. Why don't they want to do this with me? Oh my God, this is an epic fail. What have I done? Should I even be here? Anyway, like all things, divine timing, there's no coincidences. I end up falling into watching an interview with Dana Martin and Dr. Kelly Brogan. Mm-hmm. The holistic MD who was on Biden's Dirty Dozen in misinformation list. So I was sure to follow her. Who was on the list, right? And yes. So Dana Martin starts talking about unschooling. And I didn't even know that was a word or a thing or legal. Mm-hmm. And then in the interview, she says to Kelly, listen, if one of my children come in, I've always lived with my crew.
Yes.
I'll just have to pause and I'll attend to their needs and then I'll be back. And I was like, what? Did she just say that she's going to pause the interview to deal with her child? Like, she pushed her child out of the room and push her out? Like, during the pandemic, people were losing their mind with their kids home, trying to work frantically in their office. There was memes about it with signs saying, food's in the thing, unless the house is on fire, beat it. You know what I mean? Like, so this was this level of respect that I saw. Mm-hmm. And it was another one of those intuitive hits, the same as the dark one that I got. I got this beautiful one saying, this is the road to freedom. This is connection. This is a path you could take. So anyway, long story short, dove deep into all of her work, into unschooling, into the founders of unschooling, into John Holt, into all these amazing people who paved the path before me. And I feel so blessed about that, that they took the time to write the books and the stories and the podcasts and do the things. So I went down that trail, became an apprentice of Dana, worked with her for years, still do, and radically changed my life. And I've become an unschooling advocate, have kept my kids home. I speak everywhere about this, sharing this beautiful light and hope of the way things used to be, as the way God, I believe, really intended for us to live harmoniously with our children. But in order to do that, you have to confront the programming that has been, by and large, placed upon us, and we've been conditioned to our entire lives through this authoritative paradigm and structure of society based on this same ancient old ruling cult.
Yes. Which is, yeah, so it's not just our generation, it's the generations before that that have passed this along to us unknowingly, also programmed. So the programming continues. So what would you say is the biggest sort of programming things that people have the hardest time accepting?
Well, there's a lot with the myths with the kids, right? Like old school ones, kids should be heard, not be seen. Do as I say, not as I do. You know, there's a lot of myths around school, like you need an education. You're not going to get anywhere unless you have an education. Like, you know,
Let's talk about that one. Cause I think that's a big one, a big programming thing that people have to get from A to B, B to C, C, like grade 1 to 2, 2 to 3. What I experienced, cause grandma of 6 and 2 of the youngest ones were, my youngest, oldest grandson, sorry, was in school. And that grade 2, I think, when it hit. And so he lost an entire 2 years, essentially, of being able to really learn anything. And he was home lots, but it was just really, they didn't learn anything. They learned nothing because the teachers weren't teaching anything. I mean, that, you know, there's programming in there anyway, but they were literally not teaching anything. They were just minding all those, the rules, like stay 6 feet apart, make sure you don't touch.
Right.
Like,
that's
a lot to do. So the kids, you know, then they feel incompetent because they didn't learn. The parents feel doubly incompetent because they somehow can't work and teach this gap that's now happened because the children should be at a certain, you know, level. And so all of this leveling and the, you know, it's like passing the ball around to try and fix the problem. But there's always going to be problems. So, yes.
Well, let's back it up to a bit to what unschooling is. So unschooling is a philosophy. It's a lifestyle where we as a family pursue our passions individually and collectively. And we live life as if school doesn't exist because we understand that we are lifelong learners and we understand that learning is a passionate endeavor. And it's also a spiritual endeavor. If you think about how you learn, like you and I on this podcast right now, it's a spiritual exchange of information. I'm here because I want to be, you're here because you want to be, and we're sharing things with each other. We're not in an authoritative type space. I'm not the teacher telling you how it is. I'm not purporting to be an expert. I'm just sharing my life experience with you and you're asking questions and I'm asking you questions, and it's a beautiful thing. If you actually observe children naturally playing together, you will notice that that's how they connect. Children will be playing and then another child will come up and they'll say, oh, well, I just did it like this and da, 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 da. And you will actually notice when one of the, you know, let's say spicier children come to play and say, well, and this is how you do it, and become the teacher, the other child will just eventually walk away.
Right.
You know, I've had to sit and observe this myself when I would read that, when I started to research this kind of thing. So the natural process of learning, this is what I love about unschooling and why I love being an advocate and working with the parents. People will say to me often, do you have a program? Do you have the books ready? And I'm like, no, because we're not doing any of that. I work with parents to deprogram themselves. The kids are always learning. We're always learning, but the kids will be fine if we just get out of their way. It's us that needs to deprogram. It's us that have come with these set of conditions at the age of 45 or 55 or 35 or whatever. The kids are more attached to how it is to natural living than us, right?
Yes, definitely.
So this idea, this concept that children with the same date of manufacture need to be put together in pods and ought to learn something and need to know these things at the same time and then regurgitate them and memorize them and regurgitate them to adults to make adults feel comfortable before they pass them on to the next thing is absolute insanity. It's insanity. And it's actually, when you start researching the dark side of compulsory schooling, you will see that this is all manufactured to create worker bees for the next slave class and generation. That's right. All of this. Your children didn't miss anything. They were traumatized. If anyone has been and tried to be in school those 2 years during the pandemic, the parents and the children alike have trauma. That's what that entire thing was.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Whether you know it or not, that was a trauma experience. And now people are in the post-traumatic experience where they're pretending that things are normal, but nobody feels normal because they've all been through trauma. And so they're trying to blame it on, well, now that Johnny doesn't know these things and everyone's been in trauma. We need to stop the scene, stop the show, the clown world, get off the train right now and just like hold each other and hug it out, because this is why people say, well, why don't you start this school? Or why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? It's like, we haven't even begun the crux of this war. Mm-hmm. Like, people are in denial that there is even a civil war happening right now. Like, people don't understand. Like, people don't even know that what the National Citizens Inquiry is and that this is actually happening, or that 200 doctors have already died suddenly in Canada, or children are still dying. Like, so there's no building anything right now. We're still in the phase of absolute watching destruction. Like, Rome is on fire and most of its inhabitants don't know. So when we talk about these myths, it's, you know, the breakdown of the structures and realities of which we've been raised from the institutions that we trusted. So we have to awaken to, first, there's a problem with all of these things that I trusted, because I had to go through that too. Surely Mrs. Crabapple Tree wouldn't be teaching that there's more than two genders down at my kid's school. Surely they wouldn't be teaching that, you know, you is you and the light is light and that two fathers can have a baby and everything's great. Surely they wouldn't be, you know, supporting this rainbow takeover at the assemblies or hiding, you know, that this child wants to be this gender from the parents. Like, people are in denial about what's even happening because, one, it's being hidden from them, and two, they can't believe it. But they couldn't believe either that Mrs. Johnny Crabapple Tree would scream at their kids for not being 6 feet apart from their friend, or separate them when they couldn't wear a mask from the rest of the children, or act in such hysteria. I mean, people have to start understanding these people under paycheck mind control. Anybody who's still working in these institutions are going to do absolutely everything they are told to do. And that's why when people say, well, is it really as bad as it is? Yeah, it's as bad as I'm saying. The schools are the kill zone. It is the kill shot. Not only is this where they indoctrinate the young minds and they want to steal the consciousness. And when I say they, I'm talking about the people at the top that are running these programs. Like, Most people don't even know that the SOGI curriculum, for example, was tabled in Parliament in 2015 by the ex-education minister, Ben Levin, who's a convicted pedophile.
Right.
He molested and raped his three daughters and admitted to fantasizing about having intercourse with his grandchildren who were infants at the time. These are the degenerates that are running our public institutions. And we sit back and we think, oh, well, that just can't be.
Right.
Well, it doesn't mean that his material is grooming material. Well, let me ask you this. Does it make you want to take a look at that material? Because there's many psychologists who testified that the material of SOGI curriculum after Ben Levin was convicted, that it is grooming material, absolutely 100%. So why did it start as a pilot program and now it is in every school across this nation and mandatory with SOGI leaders with, like, do you guys understand the amount of money that's behind that, that's having to push this out? Of course, it's always foreign dollars. You know, everything is 12 steps from George Soros and the open, free society, which they hide behind all these buzzwords. That's part of the dark agendas, right? It's like a Trojan horse, like diversity, inclusivity, love is love, you know.
Which all sound very nice, which all sound very, yes, very nice and almost Christian.
Yeah. Almost. Right.
Yes. Which is, it's very funny to see people respond to some of this stuff when you say, and that's exactly what they'll say. I say, well, you know, Jesus said that we should, you know, invite the poor and invite the, you know, be kind to them. I'm like, well, Jesus also said, like, you know, better to harm a child and have an albatross around your neck, or that's biblical, you know. And so, and the no harming of children is front and center. So it's not everything goes, as people like to try to twist things into the everything goes, because that's the, you know, right thing to do. So we've actually we've given up anything moral and ethical or God-based, and only tried to turn it into this ethical position.
Right.
You know, so this whole brain thing of, well, if you just treat everyone, like, no, there's some things that are kind of moral absolutes that are, that used to be the foundation for some people, where they would be able to discern and go, no, I'm not going to participate in these things. But as you get swallowed up by the paycheck, and I hear more and more people, it's like, you know, recently speaking with people this last week about where's the best place to work. I'll just ask that, where's the best place to work? And they'll say, oh, like big corporations are the best place to work. And then everyone can get on plans. And I'm just like, oh yeah, well, that's where, then you've got the rainbow flag flying everywhere. And so they go, but you know, how are you going to keep a roof over your head? How are you going to make sure that your family survives? So there's all that deep, you're not going to have any friends. You're, you know, the community's
going to be the programming.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Most people don't understand, the average person, that we have a part of our mind, the subconscious brain, that's picking up, you know, 11 million pieces of information a minute.
Right.
And so it's searching for the most repetitive content. And this is why we were propagated against so much so with the COVID nonsense. And you would hear it everywhere and you would see it on every news channel, because the people that rule us know that the more repetitive content we hear, the more we'll fall in lockstep. And that's exactly what happened with people. So to go work for a big corporation, like you're talking about, you know, people are always looking for the safety card because they have been poisoned. People are poisoned. They eat like crap. They feed their minds with crap. They're not taking care of their bodies. This is all by design. I'm not blaming anybody for this.
Right.
But this is the reality. You know, the cheaper food that's not good for you is cheaper, right? And so it's harder to have organic food. It's harder. The government and these systems depend on us being weak, sick, and dependent. And if you work for a corporation, then you are handing over your authority and your power to this other entity. That you either work for a corporate technocracy or you work for the government. That's what they want. And that's why there was an attack on small business throughout the pandemic.
Right.
Because they want to eradicate small business because we have independence and we have a work ethic and we want less government, right? So that's the attack on that as well. And so school is one of those things. I mean, school is just the perfect breeding ground for all these toxic ideologies and to, you know, push these mind controlled, I hate to say it, but they're the devil's minions.
I think some of them do know it and they choose to turn a blind eye, which is also just that it's like once you know, you can't not know what's going on and you need to, then it's like you're checking in with yourself and going, is this actually what I should be doing morally? Is it what I should be doing? If people actually answered that question honestly, the majority of people would do something different, but they're not answering it honestly because they're afraid, to your point. And this whole thing in the school system just didn't crop up in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. This has been going on. I was telling Tasha before we got on the interview, I was a counselor for a school division in 1991. And at that time, there was one child on Ritalin in the entire school division. So 3K-12 schools, a Catholic school, and a Hutterite colony. One child in all of that on Ritalin. And by year three, there was 80. Wow. And I just went, I cannot participate in this.
No.
I guess so. I didn't carry on in that because you can't fight within the, they go, people would go, stay and fight. I go, no, like, who are you going to fight? No. You have to actually exit and try and figure out something else because the system is, we're going to medicate your kids. We're going to medicate you. We're going to make sure that you're high on everything. You're sitting at home, you know, watching stuff and tuned out, that we want you on all kinds of hard drugs, which now are, like, you can get hard drugs prescribed to you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So just like, so it's, on and on we go. So the schools now also, I just saw this post yesterday, Tasha, you probably saw it. I would imagine that in BC schools that there was a presentation where the kids were given afterwards a safe snort pack.
Yeah. I was posted about that last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in BC, so that's also part of this kind of ancient ruling class's, you know, playbook to destroy societies. I mean, they will take over with drugs. I mean, they didn't make this illegal, even with when they made pot illegal. You know, all the hippies think, oh, the government finally listened to us. No. This was by design. They all knew what was coming. They knew 2020 was coming. And they wanted everything accessible for us to sedate ourselves as much as possible while they were sneaking behind the back door and raping us. That's basically it. And murdering us and our children. And, you know, it's true that what you say about this has been going on a very, very long time, even though it seems like there's a huge push, right? Mm-hmm. It has been going on for a very long time in the schools, the sexual ideology. Like, it's not as blatant, right? The drugs, the maids, the medical assisted suicide. Like, here we are 3 years later out of a pandemic where everyone was convinced that we were supposed to save grandma.
Right.
Stay at home to save grandma. Mm-hmm. And now we're ready to ship grandma off and give her some drugs to end her life quickly because she's, you know, it has some mental health issues or is in pain, you know, right. Which one is it? Mm-hmm. So they're actually handing out maids coloring books throughout this nation from K-6 to get children used to the idea that this is the right thing to do, this collectivism, right? And collectivism is just the heart of communism, of, you know, Stalin and all Mao and all of these ones, this idea that what's better for the whole over has to precede individual rights of people. Mm-hmm. You know? And this is what is being taught in Canadian schools right now. There are other ideologies beyond the sexual curriculum that's being taught that is very alarming. Climate hysteria, for one. Mm-hmm. It's a huge push in 2023. You know, we're going to have, look at when they turned off last winter, the gas, they made those cuts in Europe. You have these young ones, you know, in their early 20s, on social media talking about how they're saving the planet by keeping their heat off and all the tricks that you can do while they're, you know, they'll be the first ones to line up for those bugs in 15 minutes. If you can get kids young, right? Yes. Change the mindset. And then what else it does as the attack on the family is, like, when a lot of my friends will say, well, my kids are okay, they've got good teachers this year, and we're going to do another year. And I'm like, okay, let me know when you come to me in a year from now, when your kids turned on you and said to you, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a transphobe. My parents are this and that, because that is what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. That is what they're teaching. And they did it, and they started it with the vaccines. They had secret staff saying, if your parents don't believe in vaccines, you know, this is an old thing. You know, you can do this. You can get vaccinated over here. You don't need their permission. Let's lower the age to 12. And now they're doing it with the gender ideology. So it is dividing families at the core.
And so the other curriculum that's been pushed, I think, is so we've talked about MAID, we've talked about the transgender ideology, we talked a little bit about the climate change. I think a lot of people,
critical race theory.
What else are we seeing? So let's talk about critical race theory, because people might not be quite familiar with what that is also.
So critical race theory and social emotional learning, you'll hear about it in your kids' school, and ask your kids about it. So basically what it is designed to do is to make white children feel guilty for who they are and disempower every other ethnicity for feeling that they are. It literally implants the idea that there is this systematic racism, this unconscious biased racism within your friends. So here you have friends. Now, when you watch kids, if you're a mother or you're a normal human being, when kids are playing together, they're not looking at race. They're not looking at gender. They're just playing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you grow up with these kids and you've got friends, and my friends have African-American friends that we've grown up with for years. Actually, I'm a quarter black, like, you know, we're Jewish, with all sorts of people in our lives. Right. And then you go to school and you go to one of these classes and you find out that your friend, if I'm black and she's white, might have this hidden racism about them, because they have white privilege, and you just created the divide. Like Morgan Freeman says, you want to quit racism? You want to eradicate racism? Quit talking about it. Mm-hmm. Quit talking about it. The only one that's making this a problem in Canada with the friendliest people on the planet is the schools. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are creating the problem. Like, I'm not saying that there's not jerks out there and racist people somewhere here and there. Listen, I spent 5 weeks at the trucker convoy, and the only Nazi flag or Confederate flag was planted by one of Trudeau's, you know, cronies.
Right.
Not a racist, misogynist, you know, violent bone in anyone's body in that place. I'm not saying that there weren't some unsavory characters that had pasts and whatever, but it was the Freedom Olympics. God was there. You know, the dark side was there too, but it wasn't who you think it was. It wasn't the truckers and the families and the people that were coming together. That was a miracle that, you know.
It was a miracle. Yes. Yeah. And they got it shut down and took money out of people's bank accounts. So again, that fear thing of we're going to get quashed if we do anything to resist this. So I do want to, we've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about your program. I want to talk about, well, not your program.
Yeah.
Your unprogram. Your unprogram.
Yeah.
Your anti-program, and how people can tap into your work and how they can participate and learn from you.
Right. So basically, I don't have a ton of time. So, you know, because obviously I'm unschooling my own kids, and that requires one real present parent. Yes. But I do a little bit of coaching here and there. And I also have a community that I've built. So I have a couple other advocates that work with me, and we hold space on these Monday night Zoom calls. We have a community of moms and dads that come together and talk about all things unschooling every week. I pop in once a month and usually have some kind of masterclass. So when you become part of my membership, you have access to that, access to me. I also have, I do masterclasses with people like Dana Martin and Matt Boudreau, and very interesting people who are walking the talk and are leaders in this kind of philosophical talk. And then, I'm doing a big talk for free with Jason Kristoff, June 25th on Zoom. People can sign up for that. And it's we're taking it as a way of, he's going to be talking about the history, the background of this ruling class, these elite families, and how they control us and the methods they use. I'm going to be talking about the current dark agendas, like I just touched on them, but I will be giving examples and going in depth. And then at the end, we will have a live Q&A for the both of us. So it'll probably be a 2.5-3 hour presentation. We are trying to do it to contribute to the collective, you know, for free to save as many kids as we can. We're hoping people will change their minds and pull them out before next year. And so that's going on. So that's kind of what I do. I end up speaking at events, advocating. I've got a little bit of a community. I encourage parents, if you're interested, is don't get overwhelmed with the details, but start surrounding yourself with like-minded people that resonate with you. Even if you feel like that's a huge jump for you, just start, you know, come to our Monday night classes, listen to the talk. Like there's a collective wisdom that happens with people, you know, where they say wherever two or more are gathered, you know, invite God in, beautiful things happen, you know, sharing celebrations, stories, ideas. And then you feel this kind of support. You don't feel so alone in your thoughts. And, you know, we've all been there. Every one of us who are in these groups have walked that walk of being so unsure and just terrified to make the steps and choices and break free from the school matrix. Right. But it's doable, it's possible, and it is so worth it.
Yeah, it is so worth it. Thank you so much, Tasha, for being a wonderful guest. So you can find out more information about Tasha and Jason Kristoff by going to Tasha's website, TashaFishman.com. So invite everyone to do that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Thank you, Tasha, for your wisdom. Help each other to get over the heartaches of the last bit by getting involved in groups that are doing things that are for your best and highest good and the best and highest good of your children. Love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.